Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 537, Beautiful Savior. Following that hymn, we'll pray Matins. That's on page 219 and following. Worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time for the canticle this morning. Following our sermon, we'll sing hymn 941, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. Also, a couple of other brief announcements. First of all, you'll notice Pastor Morundi is not here. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is in convention right now as we speak in Milwaukee. Pastor Morundi is our circuit pastoral delegate, so please keep the church body, the convention, and Pastor Morundi in your prayers. And, you know, sometimes the business of the church is just business. And we pray that the Word of God on the Lutheran Confessions would have its way, and that as we gather in convention, we would not mess things up too bad. That's sometimes about the best that we can hope for. Also, it has pleased Almighty God to summon from this veil of tears the soul of John Schwartz. John was unexpectedly called home this week, had a massive stroke, and passed away very, very suddenly. Was in church last Sunday, and we pray God's blessings upon Carolyn and the rest of the family. Memorial service will be here at Good Shepherd Tuesday morning at 10:30. Tuesday morning at 10:30. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment. Notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't know who you're sitting next to or worshiping with, take a moment and find out. In Jesus, we're one. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, King of all creation, we thank You for the blessings You have showered down upon us, blessings that we so often take for granted. Heavenly Father, You have given us life. You have given us all that we need to support this body and life. You have given us forgiveness, life, and salvation in the person and work of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord, the gift of contentment. Help us to live in our vocation. And Heavenly Father, teach us not to cling too firmly to the things of this world. For we know that our hope is not in material things or even in this earthly life, but life forever with You, in the very mansion prepared since the beginning of time. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 537.
Thank you. Worship Matins, page 219, we stand. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
We continue with the intro it, we chant it together.
Thank you.
for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is written in Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with the words of our gradual, we speak them together. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Forever, the habitation of your house, and of the living spirit.
those who hear the word of God and keep it. To the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning. The Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 2, especially these words. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. This week, as I was driving down the road on the streets of Lincoln, pulled up behind a car at a stoplight, and I saw this bumper sticker. The earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. The earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. It's a very popular kind of theology right now. A earth-worshipping type of religion. And like so much of the bumper sticker theology that permeates our society, like so much false teaching, it's partially true. The earth does not belong to us. But the second half is not only false, the second half is downright blasphemy. We do not belong to the earth. Well, maybe in one sense we do. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. In that respect, we all belong to the earth. But that's not what this bumper sticker meant. This bumper sticker meant to say, there is no God. We belong to the earth. From the earth springs forth all things. Take care of it, and then you die. It was just over 2 weeks ago with my wife and her work trip. We were in a very, very, very beautiful part of our country, the Jackson Hole area of Wyoming, on the very fringe of Yellowstone National Park. One day, we had an 11-hour tour of Yellowstone, just one tiny little corner. During these 11 hours, we crossed over the Continental Divide 5 times. The scenery was amazing. Mountains, waterfalls, a slice of the Grand Canyon, Old Faithful Geyser, animals and scenery. Just amazing. During 11 hours, our tour guide, who just happened to be named Clint, for 11 hours, we heard the most amazing facts and stories about the region. And not once did we hear the words God or creation. Not once. Oh, we heard about evolution. We heard about millions and billions of years. We heard every possible scientific explanation for the marvels and wonders we were seeing. But God, not only did He get no credit, He was completely absent. Completely. One of the other members on the tour, who knew I was a pastor, came up to me about two-thirds of the way through. And he said, "How can you stand this? How can you stand this? This fact that everything is billions of years old and that God gets no mention and no credit and no glory." And I looked at him and I said, "All I can do is pray Psalm 8 silently to myself and pray to God, Father, forgive him. For he knows not what he does." My friends, this is the world that we live in. A world that could care less about God. A world that gives credit to Mother Earth or to the Trinity of me, myself, and I. For everything, for every blessing, for every accomplishment, even for life. God's Word before us today serves as a great teaching tool and corrective, because it is easy for all of us, for any of us, to fall into the same trap. Maybe not as gross as some of the examples and errors I've given you, but to fall into the trap that Genesis 2 teaches us to avoid. First of all, the matter of life. "The Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature." Do you realize these words are nonsense to the majority of the people that we live among? The fact that God would take dirt and shape the dirt into the form of a human being and breathe into the dirt and the dirt come alive? Do you realize how ludicrous that is? My friends, God is the author and giver of life. Even the name of the man, Adam, man from the earth, or as I like to say, dirt boy, teaches us humility, teaches us where we stand in God's marvelous creation. God has raised us up and given us life from dirt. From dirt. Shouldn't that keep us from thinking too much of ourselves and becoming too haughty? Shouldn't that teach us a proper perspective of who God is and who we are not? My friends, our life, our breath is a gift from God. And now God uses us to participate in His marvelous gift of creation, pro-creation. Life. Life is from God. Our life is a gift. A gift from God. And when we forget who is the author and giver of life, we open up all kinds of sin and silliness and naughtiness. When we think we are the ones who control either the beginning or the end of life, there is no sin that we can't conceive. There is no horrific act that we can't either condone or turn a blind eye to. My friends, today, let us confess for all of those times when we have taken this gift of life for granted. Let us confess for all of those times when we have turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to all those cries of innocence, suffering at the hand of choice or economic freedom. My friends, today, let us hear anew God's Word that all life is precious and is a gift from God. My friends, God not only creates life, He gives us everything we need to support this body in life. God gives and gives and gives and gives because that is the nature of God. He is a gift-giving God. In our gospel reading, the feeding of the 4,000, God didn't give the people through this miracle of bread and fish. He didn't give them just a taste. He didn't give them just enough to get by. He gave them to their full. They ate and they ate and they ate and they couldn't eat anymore. And there were leftovers. This is the nature of God. Who among us, most of the time, doesn't have more than we need? More than we need to eat, to drink, to consume. Certainly there are times when we are in need, which also humbles us. But the vast majority of the time, God gives us more than we need. Not so that we can hoard it, or abuse it, or worship it, but so that we can share it with those during their difficult times of need. So that we can exercise our faith, and that we can practice the generosity that God has shown to us again and again and again. Throughout the words of our Old Testament reading, we see how God gives beauty, gives food, gives drink, gives life, gives enjoyment. And the one thing that we don't like about this text, the nature of our gift-giving God, He gives us, are you ready? He gives us work. He gives us work. Most of the time, don't we think of work as a curse? Don't we think of work as a necessary evil? Don't we spend our lives so that we can get to the point where we don't have to work anymore? My friends, Genesis 2, there is no sin in the world. This is pre-fall. God takes Adam and He places him in paradise, the Garden of Eden. And what is Adam to do? Adam is to work. Work the garden. Tend the garden. Keep the garden. Work is a gift. Work is a blessing. Work is from God. As we've been working through the book of Ecclesiastes in our Sunday morning Bible study, that theme has come up again and again and again. It's a blessing from God to work hard. Why? So you sleep at night. It's a blessing from God to work hard. Why? So you don't worry about all the other stuff you shouldn't be worrying about. It's a blessing from God to work hard. Why? Because idle hands are the devil's workshop. My friends, work is a gift from God. one of the wonderful things that was rediscovered at the time of the Reformation was the biblical teaching of vocation. Vocation. It's from the Latin, I call. God primarily calls us at the baptismal font, calls us to faith, puts His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on us, claims us as His own. But in this life, we have many and various callings. Husband, wife, son, daughter, brother, sister, employer, employee, neighbor, citizen, congregational member, friend, and the list goes on and on and on. These callings are gifts from God. God gives us these blessed callings, these gifts, this work to do. And as we work in our callings, in our vocation, all of our good works take place right there. And when we stray from our vocation, when we are not satisfied with the callings and the gifts that God has given us, 100% of our sin takes place when we wander and we stray in thought, word, or deed outside of our God-giving vocations. My friends, today is the day to give thanks. To give thanks for the work God has given us to do. Whatever shape or form, whatever vocation, whatever calling that work is, to give thanks for that gift. And for the opportunities to serve and to exercise our faith in that gift. At the end of our text, we see some almost haunting words. Don't we? We see God's Word. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." If only God hadn't given that command, then our world wouldn't be in the mess that it's in. Then we wouldn't have people who hate and kill and murder and abuse one another. If only God had not said these words or given this little stipulation to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Then, my friends, have you ever thought about why God put these two trees in the middle of the garden? The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. These trees were not there to tempt or trick or lure Adam or Eve into sin. God gave these trees as an opportunity for Adam and then Eve to worship Him. To worship Him as they heard His Word and obeyed. As they heard His Word and believed that His words, the Word of God, was better than the words of man. My friend, the same thing happens today. God gives us the opportunity to come into His house and to worship. To hear His Word, to believe His Word, to cling to His Word, because in His Word is life. And what do? So often, we pick and choose the Word or the words of God that we like or we don't like. Too often, we think that we have better words than the Lord does. And so we style and fashion and form our life to conform our will, our fallen will, rather than to listen to the Word that God has so graciously given us. When we do this, when we cling to our words, our will, our passion, our selfishness, our lust, our greed, the Word of God becomes secondary. And then after a while, the Word of God becomes an afterthought. And then after a while, the Word of God becomes a nothing. And then after a while, the Word of God becomes our enemy. My friends, how easy it is to start down this slippery slope of despising the Word of God. Today, God's Word is clear. The wages of sin is death. We know it. We know it in our families. We know it in our nation. And this week we know it right here in our congregation. My friends, do not think that death is the last word. Do not think that order and chaos reigns among us. Our God is the giver of all good things, and He has given us the victory over the greatest enemy that any of us face, death itself. God has given His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to give us life, life and salvation, life full and free, life that Adam and Eve despaired and disregarded in the Garden of Eden, life full. Jesus Christ has conquered sin, death, and the grave for you. He has given this forgiveness of sins to you in the waters of holy baptism. Not only has He created you and given you life, He has given you new life in the forgiveness of sins won by the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. He knows that on this side of heaven, in this fallen world, life is tough. Work often feels like it is cursed. The words of God often seem like so much nonsense in a world that is tainted by sin, real sin. And sometimes death reaches out and grabs us and shakes us to our very core. My friends, do not despair and do not listen to your own words. Listen to the Word of God. Jesus lives. The victory's won. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You are in my hands and nothing or no one can snatch you out. My friends, for all of the times we have taken God's gifts, gifts of life, gifts of work, gifts of Word for granted, Jesus Christ has bled and died and lives victorious over the grave. He fills you with a joy, even in the midst of sorrow. He fills you with a joy that overcomes all happy or sad times. The joy of the Lord. The joy that can only come from the holy and precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And He gives. And He gives, and He gives. Because this is who God is, and this is what God does. My friends, today we can heartily acknowledge the earth does not belong to us, and we belong to God. Thanks be to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for His gifts today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our vocation, our gifts in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. For our canticle this morning, we sing a hymnic version of the Te Deum. Hymn 941, we praise you and acknowledge you, O God. Hymn 941, please stand as you're able.
Thank you.
Amen. Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pad at the end of each row, red or black pad, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a gift-giving God would fill you with eternal joy today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
We stand for the prayers of the church, beginning with the Kyrie. Providence orders all things both in heaven and on earth. We humbly implore you to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things that are profitable for us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Creator of all mankind, you have given us the gift of life. Bless and direct us all of our earthly days. Give your wisdom to all who tend to your creation, that they would live out their vocations in service to their neighbor. Especially bless all those who make, administer, and enforce our laws, that we might live in peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you know the devastating impact sin has had upon our bodies. Be with all those who are suffering the ravages of illness and age, especially your servants Bonnie, Vernita, Lynn, Celeste, Marlene, Ken, Diane, Chris, Chip, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Joe, Jan, Nancy, Leola, Callie, Clee, Dale, Gerald, Sonia, Julie, Nancy, Sharon, Dwayne, Charlie, Connie, Cleo, Lon, Evan and Lena Scammon, and Katie as they transition, and myself and Jill as we transition out of Vicarage. Bless all doctors, nurses, and therapists that they might lessen the burdens that your people face. Be with all those who are in assisted living centers and nursing homes, as well as all who work there, so that all your people would be well cared for all the days that you grant them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord and giver of life, by the sudden passing of Jonathan Schwartz and the father of Cheryl Pfluger, you have given us a reminder of how precious and fleeting life is. Bless Carolyn and the entire Schwartz family, as well as the Pfluger family, as they mourn. Comfort them with the only comfort that truly comforts, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the life of the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Caretaker of all mankind, because of our sin, the ground now sprouts forth thorns and weeds. Yet in your mercy, you still provide a harvest and food. Protect all those who work in agriculture, that through their efforts you may give us our daily bread. Help us to see and believe that all good gifts come from your gracious hand. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless the youth of the church. Keep them safe during these summer months. Remind them of the importance of being in your house for worship, and use this time to make them grow in their knowledge of the Word and their understanding of your love for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks, Almighty God, for the blessings you have bestowed upon the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we ask that you would be gracious to all those at her convention this week. Grant that they may be faithful to your word and eager to see Christ's redemption proclaimed throughout our nation and world. Lord, in your mercy, bless us this day as we are gathered around this altar together with angels and archangels and all the faithfully departed who are now part of the company of heaven. Grant that we would receive the body and blood of Christ Jesus in faith, and that we would delight in the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that He gives to us here. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands we commend ourselves through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by your governance may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, 790.
welcome, welcome in the name of our gift-giving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A couple of announcements before we dismiss. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Be reminded, the funeral service for Good Shepherd member John Schwartz, Tuesday morning, 10:30. Not this Wednesday, but a week from Wednesday, July 20th, Good Shepherd member Dr. Chris Allman, missionary to Germany, will be here. He'll be preaching on the Wednesday night service at 6:30, and then after church, we'll be giving a short presentation on his work in and around Germany. So mark that on your calendar. Hope we can have a big crowd for him in the middle of a summer. July 20, Wednesday night, 6:30 and following. Help us pass the word on that. 2 weeks from today, hard to imagine already, but 2 weeks from today, we'll be saying goodbye and offering up a happy roast for Vicar Williams, M.W., and family. Activities and festivities. He'll preach during the day, and then we'll have our meal in the evening. There's a sign-up sheet there for things to bring and to help with. Check that out. That's 2 weeks from today on the 24th of July. Also, if you haven't noticed by now, the big white structure right off this corner of the building, the radio tower is it's up. And the wiring was worked on this week. A lot of tests and things are going. And hopefully by Labor Day, 1st of September or so, we'll be on the air with that tremendous mission opportunity. And we pray that God would bless us as we proclaim Christ in this new and very special way. If you want to follow along with the LCMS convention, you can easily do so. Go to the LCMS website, lcms.org. If you go to lcms.com, it's a website for like liquid chromium something something. So lcms.org, and you can follow along as much or as little as you like. And last but certainly not least, next Sunday, on the 17th, we will be having an open house in honor of Renos and Vivian Kuntz. Renos, you're standing right there in the middle of the aisle, so I can point you out. Renos and Vivian, they are celebrating their 60th anniversary. And in a day and age where one of the gifts of God that is abused, misused, and discarded, the gift of marriage, what a marvelous gift and what a marvelous testimony. So you're all invited next Sunday here at the church, 17th of July, 2 to 5. Okay, coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We're still working on the Ecclesiastes Bible study. We're almost done, so please join us for that. Laverne. Yes, I don't know anything about that, Laverne, so. Okay, all right. Yes, we're having a special coffee and goodies next Sunday in honor of the volunteers here in the congregation. It's in the news and notes, but I don't know anything more than Laverne does. It just pointed that out. So check that out and make some special time between services next Sunday. Vicar, anything else? Welcome back from Higher Things. I heard it was really good. Have a great day and week in the Lord. Sunday school opening back in here in about 7 to 10 minutes.